Maggie doesn't like the snow then. But I think that's just the perfect way to end this is because, and Josh was pointing this out to me last week. I thought it was so funny because we were leading into this, sermon talking about how much control that we really don't have, how much of an illusion it is. And Paul goes into this at the end of chapter 3 and then really the beginning of chapter 4. We're going to look at more parts of that. So chapter 3, verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I think as we go into this next season for the United Methodist Church as a whole, this verse, this section is very important. And not just necessarily for the church as a whole, but how we can apply that to our daily lives and what Paul is talking about. Because as I've said it many times, this church already does a phenomenal job of showing the love of Christ to everyone that they come into contact with. Each and every person uses their own gifts and talents to do that. And Paul is really saying, use that for the greater good. Use that for God. Verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. What I've noticed about today, and a lot of my friends at school, it's a problem when people have differing opinions from their own. Have you noticed that? Opinions are a hard thing to come by. Usually we say we all have to think the same exact way. We can't be tolerant of if someone views point A should be done differently than point B. For example, one of my friends at Wesleyan, one of my best friends, they are very strong in their faith. They have one of the most incredible relationships with God that I have ever seen. Way more powerful than mine, honestly. It's quite amazing to see that. But when it comes to loving others, when it comes to spreading the love, they take the stance on we need to separate ourselves from the sin, from the ugliness, from the bad in this world, and completely stay out of it. Love them from afar. Where my viewpoint is, we get down in the dirt with them. We get down in the dirt with people. We get down in the hardest times. We cry with them. We laugh with them. And if they're living a sinful lifestyle, we show them the love of Christ, not in a judging way, but show them that God loves them. And that they can be redeemed by the power of Jesus. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because we both believe that Jesus has the power to save, but we think of going that in different ways. And Paul is talking about all of these disagreements that the church has had. Because earlier in verse 12, as we talked about last week, pressing towards the goal of Christianity, towards the goal of a relationship with Jesus. Verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." You see, Paul is talking about this main goal, the prize in Jesus. The prize in keeping unified in Christ. And what he's talking about in verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. He's saying we all need to come together. We all need to come together and love those that we come into contact with. If we have different viewpoints on things, the key is to accepting that, but seeing past those different views. I remember at a job interview for Chick-fil-A, kind of mad they didn't hire me for it, but that's okay. They asked, "How do you deal with a customer that's being extremely difficult? How do you deal with a conflict?" And the first thing that I said, because this is something that my professor in college drilled into me, was acknowledge what they are saying. Acknowledge that you hear, excuse me, that's not good, that you hear the viewpoint they are saying. And then they go into the classic customer service saying, "Okay, I understand, we'll do everything we can to fix that." But I think we can apply that to what Paul is saying as we start to go into more of God being in the ultimate control. If we have someone that has a differing viewpoint than us, rather than shutting them out completely, regardless if we believe it right or wrong, I think the best way to show the love of Christ is saying, "I hear what you are saying." And the greatest example of that is Jesus with Matthew. Did you all ever watch the series The Bible on TV when it came out like a couple years ago? Tina, you did? Oh, it was phenomenal. Absolutely. I would recommend it severely if you can get it on DVD or anything. But it goes through certain events in the Bible, talking about the history of it, and it starts to lead up to Jesus. And when Jesus calls Matthew, the tax collector, to be his disciple, Jesus recites the prayer that Matthew had said, "I'm a lowly tax collector. I'm not worthy of your love." You see, what Jesus was doing was acknowledging what Matthew was saying. His viewpoint was different. Matthew believed he was not worthy to be a disciple. But Jesus said, "No, come on in. My arms are open wide." And I think when we start dealing with any conflict, that's the key, is showing that we understand what they are saying and having a healthy discussion. Verse 17, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Living the pattern of a Christian lifestyle that Paul is saying, go out, give to the poor, give to the needy, feed the hungry. Go to the least, the last, and the lost. Because Paul was so focused on spreading the message for everyone, Jew and Gentile, believer and non-believer. And I think that is so important to show with the end of Philippians. All of this is talking about unity and control, most of this book. Pointing towards the higher power of Christ. That Christ is ultimately in control, no matter what. And it might sound like this past series I've been saying the same thing over and over again, but that's because the truth is so important. That truth that God is ultimately in control, no matter what happens. When our lives feel like that we are in either in a season of just waiting, not knowing what's coming next, or we're in a season of chaos, surrounded by what it seems like hurt, death, fear, sadness, depression, anxiety. What Paul is saying is that it's not just going to get easier the moment that we let Christ in, that we give him complete control. This lifestyle, this pattern that he's talking about, is saying it's not going to get easier, but you're going to have someone that will hold you through everything. You're going to have someone that will be holding your hand, carrying you, be the shoulder for you whenever you need it. Verse 18, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." And this would, you would think this is a very harsh statement to say, that people are enemies of the cross of Christ. What he's talking about with the tears, this amount of sadness that he has, is there are people that still don't know the gospel. And I'm sure in this community, even though we have a church every other block it seems, there are still people who don't know the true transforming power of Jesus Christ. And when we come to church, when we come get refilled to get through the week, that refilling is not just for us to keep, just to get us to the next day. Now, it's true, you need to take care of yourself. But no, what it's talking about, we get that refilling and then we let God take control of what happens next in this week. The hardest thing to do is to give up what we think is control. And I said it like last week, the study of the Enneagram. The workshop, she said control was an illusion. I think control is one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves. Like Hurst was saying, just glad that we woke up this morning. I think that's the perfect example. We don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. We don't know if we're going to wake up after a nap that we take on our Sunday afternoons. And we don't know what this week comes. And we don't know what's going to happen. But we do know this. God is in control. God has our backs. He has mine, yours, and everyone outside of this building. And say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. The sadness that people just don't know, the love that we all know from Jesus, there are people who don't know that. And I think it's our job to give up that illusion of control and say, God, I submit to whatever your will is. And let me just love someone this week. The craziest thing is, high school, I remember praying that prayer. I said, God, just use me. I don't know how. Just do it. Next thing I know, one of my best friends in school figured out that he had started to have a drug addiction problem. This is my sophomore year in high school. And he didn't know what to do, didn't know how to tell his parents, didn't know anything. And rather than just saying, and I promise you this is not lifting myself up, I'm just saying what happened when we let God take complete control. Instead of saying, you are literally the worst person ever. You are a sinner just for doing drugs. He started to cry. And I just held him. His world had come crashing down. This life, he had entered into this lifestyle of sin, drug addiction, and even started drinking. His name was Patrick, one of my best friends. And we were sitting in the hallway before first period. We just held each other. He went on to tell his parents that I don't know what happened after that. He He wouldn't tell me. And that's okay, because all he needed in the moment was just to hear that he was loved. When was the last time you said to God, just use me? No boundaries, no conditions. Just use me. I can tell you, for me, it was too long ago. It's a daily battle to do that. Verse 19, Paul starts to get very graphic in what he's saying. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. They're not focusing on the true power in a relationship with Jesus, because in reality, they don't know what true love is like, because they don't know God. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You see, Jesus, whenever an interaction with Jesus happens, a transformation happens. All of his disciples transformed. Paul transformed. Each and every one of you, the moment you accepted Christ, transformed. And that was simply because, whether realizing it or not, we gave up control when we asked Jesus to be in our lives. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. He's simply saying what we think we have control, that's an illusion. God is the one who is in control, and he knows what's best for us. And then chapter 4, as he starts to wrap things up. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think rather than saying this is what you should be doing, you should be rejoicing in the Lord, you should not be anxious, I think this is also a way of looking at when we give up complete control and we give into a life with Jesus, this is what happens. You rejoice in the Lord always. Your gentleness will be evident to everyone that you come into contact with. Your love will be evident in everyone you come into contact with. And the reason I say that is because I've seen it in the way that you welcome me every day. So then, my challenge as we finish up this book, pray that prayer. God, use me with no limitations, no boundaries, and no expectations. Just use me to love someone and give up control. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.